Proverbs tonight. If you're following along in the church Bible, start on page 635. We are reading from chapter 11, verse 17. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. And then from chapter 12, verse 10 on page 636, a righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. And lastly, from chapter 19, verse 17 on page 644. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. This is God's word.
Let's go to the Lord once more in prayer. Lord God, we praise you for your kindness to us. Lord, help us to learn from your word what it is to be kind. Lord, help us to respond to your kindness with loving kindness ourselves. Lord, by your Spirit, take these eternal truths and bind in it them to our hearts. Change and transform us more and more in the likeness of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, there was a report in the BBC about a 7-year-old Japanese boy who was found sitting on a bench halfway up Mount Fuji in Japan. He was sitting there on a bench with a snack and a soft drink and no adult anywhere near him. So as soon as he was found, the authorities immediately mobilized up and down the mountain, and within about 20 minutes, his father and his older brother were found about 3 hours further up the mountain. The BBC says his father, age 48, reportedly told the boy to wait here after the boy complained he was tired. And then he continued the climb with his elder son. Any father who has attempted to plan a good time for the family can resonate with this man. But I think it underlines to all of us a truth. It is hard to be kind, even to those who need your kindness the most. Throughout the Proverbs, Solomon gives us many complimentary pictures of what wisdom looks like. What does it look like for someone to be wise? And he shows us that wisdom in action. So he contrasts over and over, not only the wise and the fool, but then he backs up other contrasts behind those two categories. So he describes the righteous and the wicked, the faithful and the adulterer, the hard worker and the lazy man. Those are not separate individual categories. Those are all, you're meant to see them stacking together. The wise is the righteous, is the faithful, is the hard worker. But another way that Solomon describes the wise one is this: kind. Is that what you think of as wise? To be kind? I'm going to spend the rest of our time considering what is kindness according to the Bible. And then in 2 weeks' time, we'll consider why kindness is wise according to Proverbs. But tonight, we just want to consider what is kindness. We see it most clearly there in Proverbs 11:17. We see it by contrast. Kindness is the opposite of cruelty. So a cruel man goes out of his way to harm other people. So a kind man goes out of his way to help others. Kindness is proactive, seeking the good of other people, not just when it happens to line up with what you're already doing, but going out of your way for the benefit of others. And Proverbs 12:10 and 19:17 give greater specificity to the kindness. Notice how kindness is shown in caring for those who are beneath you, who rank lower than you. Proverbs 12:10 shows that the kind man, the righteous man, even shows concern for the well-being of animals under his care. The kind person is concerned for the well-being of not just anyone, but anything around them. The kind person takes care, verse 19:17, the kind person cares for the poor, those who are never going to be able to pay you back. In fact, the word that we have in English to describe money that is given to the relief of the poor comes from this description of kindness, benevolence, benevolence, wishing well, desiring good. And that's what kindness is. It is a wishing well of other people that isn't just the sort of, oh, I hope it turns out well for you. Go, I hope you stay warm and well fed. But a wishing well that takes action to address the need you see. This is the kindness of the Philippian church, who even when they themselves didn't have much money, they gave to contribute to Paul's material needs while he was in prison. It's the kindness of the Hebrews Christians, who risked abuse and even loss of their possessions and property just to go visit other Christians in prison. It's the kindness of George Karalaxis building someone's table for them while they're still at work. The kindness of Emily and Elise and Lynn and many others voluntarily giving up sitting through Sunday morning service in order to serve young children so that young parents can sit through the service with at least a little less distraction. It's the kindness of Peter Pershogo and Daniel Canini mowing my lawn before we moved in, a kindness that was so confusing to my neighbor because they weren't getting paid. And who would ever do this without getting paid? That's the kindness the Bible speaks about. The kind person isn't just kind to those who are like him, though, or those who can benefit him. And he isn't even just kind to lowly and overlooked people. He is kind even to his enemies. Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. The vision that Proverbs gives us is an all-encapsulating kindness. Kindness that is soaked into every behavior and every interaction you have, whoever that interaction is with. Pastor Aaron Menikoff describes it this way. He says, kindness is to the Christian what salt is to the ocean. It ought to be everywhere in the believer's life, flavoring all that they do. And I think it's striking that I believe every time in the New Testament that we are told to be kind, we are always given with that the prime example, the pinnacle of kindness, God's kindness to us. Let me read to you just two examples. In Titus 3, for instance, Paul says this, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Ephesians 2, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. As the gospel is God's kindness to us. God so loved the world, his enemies, that not only does he continually provide rain for the righteous and the unrighteous alike, not only does he continually provide food even for sparrows and clothing even for flowers, not only that, he gave of himself for our benefit when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to become a human, to provide a Savior for us. And Jesus Christ did not grasp the comfort of heaven, but condescended into this world in all its dirt and all of its danger. For our sake, he became poor. The Lord, who made us, submitted himself to abuse and death at the hands of men, even death on a cross, all to make peace with you, Christian. He took that penalty of our sin and rebellion against him out of his loving kindness. And did you catch in Ephesians 2, where Paul told us the reason of why he showed us that kindness of salvation? I'll read it to you again. He showed it to us so that in the coming ages, he might show to us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us. God showed us kindness so that for the rest of eternity, he could show us kindness. This is why it's the height of kindness that God the Father would send his Son to bear the punishment that we deserved. As we should reflect on his wonderful, overwhelming kindness towards us, and from that learn what it means to be kind in our own lives. So practically, what does it look like to be kind? I'm sure there are many examples you could think of. I encourage you to discuss with other people examples that you categories you think I missed. That would be a great thing to talk about after the service. But let me give you just three. We should be kind and forgive. God's example of kindness to us in Christ teaches us what it is to be kind, and how has God been kind to us? Forgiving us our sin. Not by downplaying our sin, not by acting like our sin didn't really bother him that much, but by absorbing the cost of our sin in himself so that we might benefit. Beloved, we ought to forgive one another in the same way. Are you kind in this way? Do you want the good even of those who hurt you, even of those who offend you, even of those who just don't seem to care about you? Or do you try to just sort of act nice on the inside, while on the inside, you're just full of grumbling and resentment? And that pays the path for a different life, the cruel man. Look again at 12, verse 10. Even the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And you know that from your own experience, don't you? If you refuse to forgive someone because there's anger still in your heart, you don't want their good. And even if you succeed in speaking to them politely, behind every word is a barely sheathed dagger. But if we would be kind, we must forgive. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Beloved, it is hard to forgive, and that's why Paul keeps reminding us when he commands us to forgive, to remember how God has forgiven you much in Christ. whatever you have legitimately to hold against that person that you're thinking of at this moment is nothing compared to what God could hold against you if he desired to. But instead, God has shown you kindness. Be kind and forgive. Secondly, be kind and overlook offense, which is a kind of proactive forgiveness, right? It's refusing to be offended in the first place, so there's nothing to forgive. One way to test yourself if you are kind in this way of overlooking offense is to ask yourself this question. How quickly and easily can you pull up a list of the people who have wronged you? We all have a list. I'm asking how quickly you can access that list, or do you have to sit and really concentrate for a while to think of people who have wronged you? A great way to grow in kindness is to train yourself not to take offense, to proactively extend forgiveness by not receiving someone else's foolishness or their thoughtlessness as an attack on you, but instead as a sign of how they need care and compassion. The Puritan Richard Sibbes says in an excellent book, The Bruised Reed, it would be a good contest among Christians, one to labor to give no offense, and the other to labor to take none. One to labor to give no offense, and the other labor to take none. And then lastly, how should we be kind? We should be kind in sharing the gospel. We should be kind and tell others about God's kindness in Christ. A year ago, I was reading a biography of Jonathan Edwards, a well-known pastor in the British colonies in America in the 1700s. But what was interesting about this biography is it was written by a non-Christian. And I know he was a non-Christian because he talked about Edwards' ministry as infecting the town he ministered in. When he talked about how Sarah Edwards, Jonathan's wife, prayed for the salvation of each of her children every day from the moment that she knew she was pregnant, for all 11 of their children, this author saw it as proof that Sarah felt, quote, dreadful responsibility in bringing yet another sinner worthy of damnation into the world. He described them warning their children about the dangers of hell as a kind of self-punishment and a terrorizing of the children, because he had no idea what he was talking about. Friends, that is true even today. There are people who will think that you are unkind when you share the gospel with them, when you tell them that, like you, they are sinners who need God's forgiveness. They will think that you are rude when you talk about their need to consider their standing before a holy God. But beloved, it is kind to warn others of the danger they are headed towards, even if they don't see the danger yet. It is kind even to speak of the reality of hell. But it's only kind to speak about it because there is a way to escape it, because of how God has made a way for anyone who believes in Jesus to escape that suffering through the blood of Jesus. As Pastor John Piper has said so well, Christians care about all suffering, especially eternal suffering. Kindness is helping others, even those who cannot help us, even those who want to harm us. Which is why we must always remember that the Lord has been and is so kind to us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's learn kindness from our Lord, who is so kind to us. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you that you are so gracious and generous to us. You are so kind to help us. Lord, even when we had rebelled against you and chosen the path of destruction, you were kind not to leave us in what we had chosen. Lord, help us to rejoice at your kindness. Lord, help us to imitate your kindness to those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.